We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
You are here. You've probably heard these words before. You are here. They're three words. They sound intuitively obvious, almost silly. You are here. Where else would I be? But they can be incredibly helpful and comforting when you're lost. If you're lost in a big city and you don't know your way around, and someone comes up to you and can point to a spot on the map and say, hey, look, you are here. Man, it can feel like they saved your life. At the same time, these three words can be some of the most frustrating or disappointing words you ever hear. Sometimes they don't tell you much. You are here. Oh, that's great. Oh, don't get too specific. Or sometimes you know where you are, but you don't know where your destination's at. I know where I am. How do I get to where I want to go? Or sometimes you feel like you've been walking for hours and you get to that sign with the big map on it. And here's the arrow. It says, you are here. And it's about an inch away from the last time you checked it. And, oh, what? Well, these words appear on maps in big places, like in the airport or at a mall or at an amusement park. They serve a purpose. They are useful. That's why you see them everywhere. And more often than not, they are true. For instance, you are here. I am glad to see you all in the house of God today. God bless you all. It is great to have fellowship with you. And to those of you online, in a way, you are here in spirit. This is moving day at Redemption Church. This is a time of transition for us. And I wanted the opportunity to speak to you today because back when the church staff decided that we were going to move and we realized that it would be good to move back to the Ivy School, God put this word on my heart. And I feel it's really important. I wanted to share it with you today. It addresses where we are as a church, but it also speaks to each of our lives individually. So, you are here. Today, we are here worshiping in this wonderful space that God has blessed us with on the south side of Parker Road. Next week, I hope you will be there. I hope you will be there at the Ivy School on the north side of Parker Road. It's important to know where you're at, to assess where you are. So in this time of transition, as we're moving to a new space, I thought it might be good to take a look back at some of the history of Redemption Church. Some of you have been here since the very beginning, so you know the whole story. But many of you have come along in the time in between. I wasn't even here from the very beginning, so I thought it might be interesting for you to hear how we got here. Redemption Church started in a home. It was a home church. We met in a living room. I say we, but I wasn't there at the time. But they gathered and worshiped and did everything we do now in a living room. It was a small gathering, but more and more people came. And over time, they said, oh, we need to get a bigger space. So they rented a little auditorium over at the Ivy School, and they met there from week to week. And that was good, and people came, and then they decided after a while, hey, you know what? We should get our own space. We should lease a space that's our own. So they got a little storefront in that same shopping center. And it was this narrow little shotgun storefront, and a couple doors down was the kid worship area. So you had to go outside to get to where the kids were worshiping. It was great. And over time, God blessed us, and more people came, and we expanded that sanctuary area and had a little bit bigger space, and we worshiped there, and we were doing good. And then when the lease there ran out, we said, hey, you know what? There's a really neat space over across the street. I bet we could do a lot with that space. And that's how we moved here. And we sort of built this place out a lot and turned it. It was originally an Army-Navy store, but you wouldn't know that today. It's been an awesome place to worship God. To tell you the truth, any place is an awesome place to worship God. But God really blessed us in this place and allowed us to use it to glorify Him in many ways throughout every stage of life. We've had baby dedications here. We had baby showers here. We've had graduation celebrations here. We've had bridal showers. We've had weddings here. We even had a funeral here. But through it all, in all that we've done here, we have glorified God. And baptisms. Thank you. I knew I was leaving one out. Amen. That's what we've had the most of. Praise God. Thank you, Angie. And God bless you for getting baptized in this space. So God's really blessed us in this place. And now we're going to be moving back to the Ivy School, to the big sanctuary room they have over there. So that's where we're at. It's important to pay attention to where you're at, to take time every now and again to assess where you are. You are here. Where is that? How did you get here? It's easy to get in a rut where day to day, you're just doing your thing. You get up, you go to work, you come home, watch TV, go to bed. You get up, go to work, come home, watch TV, go to bed. And time can kind of slip by. You got to pick your head up once in a while and say, where am I at? How am I doing? How's my relationship with God doing? You may find that you've come really far. You've grown. You weren't expecting it. You've made great steps with God in this time. That's awesome. You may find you're in a place that you didn't really expect to be. You may find you're in a place you didn't really want to be. But you won't know unless you take a look around. More often, a lot of times we look around and we find we haven't really moved much. We're still kind of in the same place. You are here, same place you were before. A lot of times we don't want to make an assessment of where we're at because we get disappointed with the answer. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it's a familiar verse. The New King James Version says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But what if all things don't really feel that new? It sort of feels like the same old, same old. I believe I'm a new creation in Christ, but everything, I am here. Everything seems the same. Well, you need to look around and make that assessment. You need to pay attention to where you're at. Ignoring it doesn't change it. If you're not happy with where you're at, the first thing you have to do is notice where you're at and then figure out where you want to be. And you need to look closely enough to make an honest assessment. At this scale, hey, I'm doing great. I'm where everybody else is. But that doesn't tell you what you need to know. You really need to look deep in your heart and figure out, where am I? Have I been growing? Have I been making steps toward God? Only you know, you and the Lord. You gotta really search your heart and check where you're at. Now, let me tell you. The truth is, at times, you're going to be back at places that you've been before. It happens. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. But at times you're going to find yourself in a place that you were before. And you may think, man, I thought I moved past that. I thought I outgrew that. There are times in life where you will find yourself someplace you've been before. Let's listen to the smartest man who ever lived. King Solomon, the book of Ecclesiastes. He said, what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. There are times in life where you go back to places you've been before. It's not a bad thing. Jesus is our model. Amen? Amen. He is everything we strive to be. So I often try and look at his life and see, what did he do? Well, he went back to places he had been before. He made the trip from Galilee to Jerusalem several times. He went several times a year for the Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And every time he went, he was healing people and speaking the gospel. It was only that last time that he went to Jerusalem when he died on the cross for our sins. But it wasn't his first time there. Furthermore, he fed the multitudes twice. He fed the 5,000. He met more hungry people. He fed the 4,000. How many times did he say to his disciples, "O ye of little faith, where's your faith? How long have you been with me? You don't know who I am." He had to demonstrate and explain to his disciples that he was the Son of God over and over again. But he was patient and willing to do so. Even after his resurrection, he appeared in the locked room, right? Twice. He appeared to the disciples, but Thomas wasn't there. So then a couple days later, he did the same thing again and said, "Hey, Thomas, here, it's me." But Jesus isn't the only one. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he got locked up several times. He was willing to go back to a place he'd been before, to being locked up, in order to spread the gospel. When he traveled, he'd go to a place and he would preach the gospel there, and then he'd travel to some other places, and then he'd come back to see how they were doing. He went to places that he had been before. He wanted to make sure that the gospel really took root in those places. Moses, he brought, how many times did he bring the Ten Commandments down from the mountain? Twice. So you will go back to places that you've been before. It's just the truth. With that in mind, let me tell you real quick. Don't burn bridges. A lot of times you'll find yourself in situations with the opportunity where you can take advantage and get out. Or you can leave somebody and think, "Man, I'm never going to see them again." Don't do that. That is, there's a good chance you'll be back in that place. I was in the Boy Scouts. We had a policy that said, when you come to a campsite, leave it better than you found it. That's the way to do it in all areas of life. Because when you come back to a place, you want to find it better than the first time you were there. And when you burn bridges, when you kind of leave people behind, that is not loving your neighbor as yourself. So just an aside there. You will be back to places that you've been before. It's not necessarily a good thing or a bad thing. There's lots of reasons why. Don't get discouraged about it. When we first decided we're going back to the Ivy School, it's a place that we've been before. At first, I was a little bit nervous about it. We're going back? But I thought we moved past that. What's going on? It's not a bad thing. I'll explain a little bit more in a minute. It's an awesome thing. There are lots of reasons why you might be going back to a place you've been before. So don't just get discouraged about it out of hand. Life moves in cycles. Seasons come and go. Life has seasons. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born, a time to die. You probably heard the song. Well, thank you, brother. All right. There are seasons to life. The thing about seasons is they repeat. We're entering the winter now. Then it'll come spring, summer, fall, and back to another winter. The Bible uses a lot of seasonal and farming imagery. A couple weeks ago, Chris explained to us the parable of the sower. Jesus used a lot of parables involving farming, the parable of the wheat and the tares. The Bible says you will reap what you sow. Very good. One plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. God uses this harvest, this agrarian imagery, over and over again, because the people of Jesus' time were very familiar with farming. But he also, the Bible also includes it throughout, because our life goes in cycles. It's a picture for how our life moves. There's a time of planting, then a time of harvest, then a time of rest. So if the seasons of life bring you back to a place that you've been before, that's a natural thing. Sometimes there's stuff in life that you like, and it's okay to go back to that. Your favorite song. You discover a song you haven't listened to for years, and you listen to it. Oh, I remember that. That's a great song. Your favorite place, maybe to go to visit. The Bible, your favorite passage. The Bible's only so long. Wouldn't it be terrible if we read through the Bible and then said, okay, I'm done with that. Put it on the shelf, never touched it again. No, we read through the Bible and we read it again. Every time there's something new to come out of that, some word for our life. Prayer. We go to God in prayer every day. God is our provider. He is our supply. So you may find yourself coming to him in supplication time and again. That's natural. I really hope you'll find yourself coming to him with praise time and again. It's natural to find yourself back in that place. Praise God. If you're in ministry, I'm learning this quick. If you're in ministry, you will find yourself doing the same thing over again. This doesn't just come from me. Look at Jesus. How many times did he heal a blind person? How many times did he heal someone with leprosy? How many times did he raise someone from the dead? Hopefully, if you're ministering to people, it may be the same person that comes back to you with, they're struggling with the same problem time and again. But if not, there will be other people with that same problem that come to you. You minister to them. It's a blessing to do so. But you'll be doing the same thing from time to time. Sometimes life will put you back in a situation that you've been in before. We live in a broken world. Sometimes bad things happen. There are setbacks. Let's take a look at Joseph with a coat of many colors. He was sold into slavery. He was chained up, sold as a slave. He started to work his way up, and then he was thrown in prison, put back in chains. That wasn't his fault. It's just a situation in life. But God can use all things for good. Just have patience, trust in him. Things will get better. Sometimes we put ourselves back in a place that we were before. Sometimes when we have trouble, we just go back to a place that's comfortable, regardless of whether it's good or not. Peter. The first time we meet him in the gospel, he's a fisherman. And Jesus comes to him and says, Peter, follow me. The last time that we see him in the gospels, what's he doing? He went back to fishing. He was upset that he had denied Christ, and so he went back to the thing he knew. Sometimes we do that. When we get discouraged or have problems, we go back to something we feel comfortable about. Sometimes we make poor choices over and over again. Addiction is a terrible example of this. You go back to a place you don't want to be in, but there's this thing in you that draws you back to it. So sometimes we put ourselves back in a place that we've been at before. God can help us out of that, but you need to be aware of where you're at. You need to be aware that you're back in that place so you can start to move out of it with the help of the Lord. Sometimes God puts you back in a place you were before. Now, this one's tricky, because I don't want to give you the idea that God puts you back in a place to punish you. God has a purpose in it. God is very wise. And sometimes I've seen this on church signs. At first I didn't get it, but now I'm starting to understand. Some signs, they say God is a God of second chances. Man, I love a do-over. Most of the time. Sometimes it's a little bit embarrassing. But I welcome the opportunity to do it again and get it right. So when I messed it up the first time, it's like that never happened. I can set it straight and make it good. God gives us the opportunity to go back sometimes and do things right. Amen. Thank God. Praise the Lord for that. Sometimes he gives us that opportunity. Look at the people of Israel in the wilderness. They had wandered through the wilderness for 40 years. They got to the promised land. They looked across the Jordan River and they said, oh man, that's full of people and they look mean. Nah, we're not going to go there. They'll kill us. So God led them back through the wilderness for another 40 years where they learned to depend on him. They learned that he was their supply. They learned that he would take care of them. And when they got back to the Jordan River, they were ready to enter that land and to conquer those people and take the land that God had promised them. Sometimes God will lead you back to a place because what you learned there the first time will help other people who are there now. It is a blessing to share what you learned. Sometimes we learn things the hard way. And it is wonderful to try and help people from having to go through those same struggles. Sometimes God takes us back to a place we've been before to remind us just how far we've come. Jacob, in the book of Genesis, he was running for his life from his brother. He rested one night, and he had a vision of angels ascending and descending. And when he got up in the morning, he said, oh, praise God. This really blessed me and showed me that God is with me. And so he took the rock that he had used as his pillow, and he set it up, and he poured oil on it, and he named the place Bethel, the house of God. Well, several chapters later, after he had reconciled with his brother, God called to him and said, hey, Jacob, go back to Bethel. And when he went back there, God renewed his covenant with him and reminded him of his promise and his love for him. Sometimes God leads us back to a place to remind us of our faith in him, of where we've come, how far we've come in our faith. God's ways are mysterious. Sometimes we may not know why he leads us back to a place that we've been before. But God has a purpose in it. Think of the people with Joshua, his army, when they fought Jericho. God told them, you march around this city for 7 days, blowing your trumpets. Well, around the fifth or sixth day, some of his soldiers were probably thinking, what is going on? What is the point of this? But after 7 days, the walls fell down and they were able to conquer the city. It was God's way of doing it. They had to go back and march around that city seven days. But through that, God allowed them to take that city. So sometimes God puts us in a place we've been before. He has a specific purpose in mind, even though we can't see it. Think of the picture of the galaxy. Now, full disclosure, that picture is not really the Milky Way galaxy because I couldn't get the camera out far enough to take that picture. But it's a good representation of what our galaxy looks like. And the arrow sort of points to where our solar system is at in that galaxy. And I've read if our solar system was a little bit closer to the middle or a little bit further out, the conditions here wouldn't be the same. Yes, we wouldn't be able to survive on this planet if it moved just a little bit. It wouldn't even have to move enough to where that arrow would move. We are in a very specific place because God knew we needed to be there. Sometimes he places us at a place in our life that we may have been to before, but he knows why he wants us to be there. But really, we want to know, why am I here? Okay, you are here. Why? Well, I'll tell you. No matter where you are, no matter how you got there, your purpose in being there is to glorify God. Amen? Your purpose in being here is to glorify God. Don't take it from me. These are the words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. These are from the Message Bible. Let me tell you why you are here. You are here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You are here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. You are here to glorify God. Redemption Church is not a place. We have been very blessed in this place. But Redemption Church is the body of Christ. It is my brothers and sisters in Christ. It is all of you. And we are here to glorify God. When we gather, we do three things. We worship, we receive the word of God, and we talk to God. And all three of those things are all about glorifying him. And we will do those things in this space. We'll do those things across the street. We will do those things if we meet in the parking lot or out in a field or wherever we go. That is what we do. Our purpose in being any place is to glorify God. Now, again, let me be careful. I don't want to tell you that God wants you to be in whatever situation you're in. If you've lost your job, I'm not saying God wants you to be unemployed. What I'm trying to tell you is you can glorify God in that situation. You can thank him for being your supply, for being your true provider. You can praise him. You can use your time, if you have more free time, to glorify him by spending time with your family, by helping out at church or in your community. You can praise him and thank him for the work he's doing in your life, even if you can't see it, opening up opportunities for that next job. Even if you can't see it, he has you in mind. He is working on your behalf. If you're struggling financially, I'm not trying to tell you God wants you poor. But if you find yourself at the end of the month trying to stretch that last dollar month after month, you can still glorify God. Again, he's our provider. You can use what you've learned in stretching your dollars and teach that to some of the younger generation coming up who think that debt is a way of life. In that way, you can glorify God. If you're coming out of a relationship that just fell apart, you can glorify God in that situation. You can praise him whose love endures forever. You can praise him for the relationships in your life that have endured, for the people around you who love you, and you can thank him for the love that never fades away. Amen. You may be back in the same physical place that you've been in before, but the situation surrounding your being there, the circumstance may be different. You may find yourself back in a similar situation to one that you've experienced before, but you may be completely different. If you've grown in faith, if you've accepted Christ, that makes all the difference. From Revelation chapter 20, verse 5, And he who is seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Jesus does that. Even situations we've been in before. When you invite him in, it makes situations new. If you've struggled with something before and you didn't really see a way out other than the way you went, and now you're back to it again. Our God is a creative God. He can create a way out of that. He can create a new way for you. Amen. So we're moving back to the Ivy School. We've matured as a church. And we're moving into a much bigger space in that building. We can praise God for this. It is awesome. God is working in our lives and in our life as a church body. Praise him for it. He is awesome. Even old things are made new. Sometimes he leads us back to a place we've been before in triumph. Again, think of the Israelites entering the promised land. They left an occupied territory by crossing a body of water. Then they wandered through the wilderness. And then God led them, and they had to cross back over a body of water into an occupied land to conquer it, to receive what God was blessing them with. He led them back to a similar situation, but as victors, not fleeing for their lives. Sometimes God can lead us back to something, and we have the victory through Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about a real victory. Sometimes you will have to go back through a place you've been before when you turn around. If you're going one way for a while, and then you realize, oh, I should have been going that way, and you turn around, you're going to go back by things you've been by before. Turn around. Repentance is another word for turning around. Sometimes when we repent, you will go back through situations you've been in before. Sometimes that's when God gives you that do-over that lets you do things right. But listen to me, it's not a bad thing. It is a blessing. When you find yourself going back through places you've been to before, God is blessing your life. If you've repented and turned to him, the angels celebrate. On the other hand, sometimes you might notice you're going back through places you've been before, but you didn't really repent. You were moving closer to God, and then you kind of leveled off, and then you start drifting away. That's not a good thing. You need to be aware of that. And when you realize, hey, I'm going back through places that I thought I matured past, that's when you need to repent and turn back to him. But you need to be aware of where you're at. You are here. That leads me back to where we started. You are here. You are here, if you look at the galaxy, as large as it is. It is just a speck to God. He can hold it in his hands. We're just a tiny blip on that picture. It's just a tiny blip to God. You are here with the Lord of the universe. You are here today, and God is here with you. Hebrews says, God says to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with us always. We do three things when we come to Redemption Church. The third thing, we come to the altar and we talk to God. God is here in this place. He is here for you. These altars are open. I invite you all to come up and talk to God. You can ask him to help you honestly see where you're at. You can ask him how you can grow closer to him. You can thank him for the victories that he has brought you and that he has led you through up till now. You can thank him for leading you through difficult times, for carrying you through those. If you've been moving away from him, now's the time to turn back to him today. Reach out to him.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, Look us up online at www.redemption-church.com and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.